KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy to cloudy sky. It's 39 degrees. We look for it to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a high around 45. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa News, police in Creston report seven arrests took place from early Friday morning through early this morning. At around 2:40 a.m. today, 62-year-old James Reese of Bridgewater was arrested following a traffic stop at Highway 34 and Laurel in Creston. Reese was arrested for driving while barred and later released on a $2,000 bond. Sunday evening, 18-year-old Michael Kozlarik of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a charge of simple domestic assault. His bond was set at $300. And at around 3:45 a.m. Sunday, 28-year-old Mitchell McKee of Oskaloosa was arrested in Creston for public intoxication. He was later released on a $300 bond. Saturday evening, 20-year-old Quentin Chumbly of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for violation of parole on an original charge of lascivious acts with a child solicitation. His bond was set at $5,000. Last Friday, 19-year-old Isaiah Foster of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a warrant for criminal mischief in the second degree. He was later released on a $5,000 bond. At 11:40 a.m. on Friday, 18-year-old Sebastian Sweat of Creston was arrested by Creston police for possession of drug paraphernalia and a controlled substance. He was later released on a $300 bond. And 20-year-old Renea Folks of Des Moines was arrested Friday morning at the Union County LAC in Creston on charges of willful injury and leaving the scene of a personal injury accident. She was being held at the Ringgold County Jail on $7,000 bond. Creston police reported also a woman living in the 1200 block of North Poplar Street had informed authorities Saturday that sometime between 11 p.m. on Friday and 7:30 a.m. on Saturday, a window was broken out at her home by means of a rock. The damage was estimated at $400. In news from over the weekend, one person suffered serious injuries during a rollover accident Saturday morning in Adair County. The Iowa State Patrol had reported 19-year-old Chase Anthony Moss of Menlo was driving a 2003 Chevy S10 pickup southbound on Marion Avenue near 210th Street when, for reasons unknown, Moss failed to stop at the intersection. The pickup went off the road and overturned into the north ditch and rolled over before coming to rest on the driver's side. Moss, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was transported by Adair Rescue to the hospital in Greenfield before being flown by helicopter to Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. The accident happened around 5:30 a.m. Saturday and remains under investigation. Authorities have identified three Omaha men who died in a head-on crash on Interstate 480. Police say that 32-year-old Alvaro Contreras was driving northbound in the southbound lanes of 480 just before 1 a.m. Sunday when the 2014 Chevy Cruze he was driving collided with a 2000 Chevy Impala. The Impala was driven by 33-year-old Homero Guerrero and 37-year-old Alberto Longino Maldonado was a passenger. All three men were killed. Police say suspected alcohol use by both drivers and Contreras' wrong-way driving are considered factors in the crash. The accident occurred near the intersections of, or rather, the intersection of Interstates 480 and 80, and police have said both vehicles were traveling between 50 and 60 miles per hour when they collided. Adams County Sheriff's deputies responding to a noise complaint near 7th and Loomis in Corning at around 5:20 a.m. Sunday ended up arresting Timothy Michael Vandevender of Corning for OWI second offense. Vandevender was also cited for open container as a driver. Another person was arrested in connection with the stolen Christmas decorations in Villisca. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports 18-year-old Wyatt Dean Baldwin of Villisca was arrested at around 7:50 p.m. on additional counts of possession of stolen property. The charges were associated with incidents in the 400 block of East 5th and 100 block of West 3rd Street in Villisca. The victim said it reported that Christmas decorations missing and evidence was positively recovered from Saturday's incident. Sheriff's officials said on Saturday that a man and woman had been arrested on theft and trespass charges Friday. Baldwin and 24-year-old Kimberly Lynn Williams, both of Villisca, were arrested following incidents in the 100 block of 4th Avenue, the 600 block of East 6th, and the 200 block of South 5th Streets in Villisca. Multiple decorations were missing from that area as well. Baldwin, who, as I mentioned at the top of the story, was arrested at that time on three counts of theft in the fifth degree and trespass, and he faces the additional charge. He was being held in Montgomery County Jail pending an appearance before the magistrate. A city council in Rockwall City has voted to provide health insurance to the family of a police officer who was killed in the line of duty in 2013, thereby fulfilling a pledge to ensure coverage for 5 years after the officer's death. The Fort Dodge Messenger reports the council voted last Monday night to pay the insurance costs for Amanda Bunting and her two children. The move meets a promise made by officials to provide health insurance coverage for 5 years after the death of Officer Jamie Bunting, who was killed in a September 2013 standoff. The wife of Officer Bunting thanked the council and community for standing behind its promise of 5 years of insurance, even when they had to buy an individual policy. The mayor, Phil Heinlein, couldn't immediately say how much the decision would cost the city. Tossing trash onto the ground or spitting onto the sidewalk will no longer carry the possibility of jail time in Sioux City. The Sioux City Journal reports the city council recently scaled back the number of violations that specify imprisonment as an optional penalty. Before the move, littering and spitting on the sidewalk carried up to 30 days in jail. Fines for those offenses, ranging from $65 to more than $600, remain in effect, though. City Attorney Nicole Dubois says a change in the state law that goes into effect next year spurred the action. The change requires cities to reimburse defense costs in cases where some defendants are prosecuted for misdemeanor city ordinance violations that carry jail time as a sentencing option. Several days of strong winds in late October arrived at the wrong time for many farmers in Nebraska and Iowa who saw their crops shrink as ears of corn fell to the ground. The damage varied, but in the hardest parts of central Nebraska, some farmers reported yields dropping from an estimated 250 bushels an acre before the wind to 190 bushels after the wind. Overall, the Nebraska corn crop is still estimated to be a good one with 1.66 billion bushels, but the Ag Department's prediction is down from September's 1.72 billion bushel forecast. But the wind damage will make it harder for many Nebraska farmers to break even because commodity prices were already low. Speaking of the wind and things of that nature, the annual report on the greenhouse gases in Iowa shows the emissions of those gases has fallen for the second year in a row. DNR senior environmental specialist Marnie Stein says statewide emissions decreased by 2% from 2015 levels. And she says the emission levels have decreased as Iowa's power source has changed.
Power plant emissions have decreased 40% from their peak in 2010. And the amount of wind generated for electricity in Iowa has increased from 4% in 2005 to up to 37% in 2016, while the amount of electricity generated in Iowa from coal has decreased from 78% to 47%.
The power plant emissions decreased by 14% last year.
The combination of some units switching from coal to natural gas and then some units not being run because there's enough wind in the state to provide electricity on some days.
The emissions from power plants were the only greenhouse gas source in the state to see a decline in this year's report, and they offset the increases in the other areas, which were about 5%.
The largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in Iowa are actually from agriculture. They're about 31%, and then power plants emit about 20%. And then fossil fuels used by homes, businesses, in industry is about 25%, and then transportation is about 15%.
There are a couple of sources of emissions from agriculture.
Majority of emissions from agriculture are from crop production, from fertilizer that goes through the nitrification process and emits N2O, which is a greenhouse gas, and then the other half of the agriculture emissions are from animals. So emissions from both the animals themselves, like cows, and then manure.
Stein says the agricultural emissions are estimated using formulas based on the amount of acres farmed and the number of animals. Overall, the report says the state let loose 128 million metric tons of greenhouse gases in 2016, or gases, I should say.
That's the same amount of greenhouse gases that would come from if you sent 6 million tons of garbage to the landfill instead of recycling it. And another way to view it is it would take 151 million acres of trees to store the amount of carbon that was emitted last year.
This is the 11th greenhouse gas inventory report that's mandated by the Iowa legislature to document emission trends and track progress in reducing emissions. And that is a check of the news this morning here on KJAN, brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair. They are located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting. Potent.